Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
I'm Dr. Redmond.
And yes, we're back for Criminal Minds Beyond Borders Season 2, because we're mad at ourselves. We feel that there is some sin we have committed that deserves divine punishment. Is that the best way of looking at this? No.
It's just because we're completists, and we feel that, to be fair, we have to look at them all because, you know, we could. This is called research. We could be wrong.
No, that's true. We've been wrong in the past. Like, you have a synopsis. I almost said synopsis. Oh, my God. You have a hypothesis, and it's your job to, without biases as much as possible, test that hypothesis. It's literally the scientific method. Am I saying that what we're doing here is science? Apparently, yes. Again, I didn't know that's where we were going to end up. But yes, I'm saying that we are scientists of the show, Criminal Minds.
We are researching the show by watching it and then talking about it.
Absolutely.
And poor Dan has actually written about it.
Oh, for so long. All right, and you might wind up as well.
This is completists. We're completists.
Let's do it. Let's get right in on episode 4.
Okay, and although I have looked for these before,
yeah,
I have never found, of course, Beyond Borders
synopses,
right? Yeah. I've looked. And today, because I don't know what I was looking up, I was looking something. And so I was fiddling around, well, because I was looking at numbers and things. And all of a sudden, up popped.
Right in front of you.
These for season 2.
Nice.
Okay. And I don't know if there are season 1 ones because we've already done season 1. So
it's really not relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But I found season 2. So we
will
do. Let's
hit it. Go for it.
Yes. Pretty Like Me. When an American college student is found disfigured in Seoul in South Korea, Simmons calls the IRT to come and investigate. Meanwhile, Simmons tries to fulfill his mother's dying wish of finding his grandmother.
Okay. Who I gotta say, looks pretty good, but maybe she had his mother at age 16 or something. Because she looks great. For what I have to assume, given Simmons' age, should be someone in her late 70s, early 80s.
Well, no. How old is Simmons?
Yeah, like 37, 38, something like that. So, he's got five kids, so. And his oldest kids are like 9 or 10, so. He's not young.
No, but let's say he's 35.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's definitely older than 35, but yes.
And his, so let's say he's 40, because that's what I originally
Okay. Let's just say he's pushing 40, Matt Simmons, let's say.
Okay. We're going to do 40 as a
baseline.
So if a generation is 20 years,
yeah,
his grandmother should be 40 years older than him, so she should be 80.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And she looks great for 80. That is the exact point.
Yeah, but so did my mother.
I know. I'm just saying it's notable that she looks great for 80. She might actually be a little younger and had her daughter younger. You know, because she looks great for 80.
We don't know how old.
Oh, no. We don't know how old any of the characters are. My point is, if we assume she's 80, she looks great. And I don't know why you're pushing back on this. Because she obviously does. But anyway, so yes, that's not an important part of the episode, though. While Matt's there, he sees that a white woman has been killed. And so he calls in the team to help out. Because that's what they're for. They're for, you know, avenging the injury or death of white women in foreign countries. And they find that a killer has been cutting up women's faces, right?
Yep.
All right. So let's get right to it, which is I don't know how to respond to this episode's suggestion. And I don't know what it's like in South Korea. But I mean, I've reached the point where every time these people, especially because of the Singapore stuff we'll talk about in a bit, mm-hmm. every time these characters talk about, like, anything culturally from that area, now my first thought is that true or is that something they just read in a blurb in USA Today?
Yeah, or they went on, or when they went on the internet to research it, they took the first one and it was wrong.
Well, yeah, and they went to a website with a really, really, you know,
sketchy
nativist, xenophobic worldview to the website. Because it's like, this episode takes it as a complete, you know, assumption that in all of South Korea, the highest standard for beauty is looking as white as possible. And I'm like, that feels like a stretch to me. Like, I remember hearing about I've heard on, you know, the news and in various other pieces of fiction about the eye widening surgery they've talked about. But I don't know if it's as, like, when they say it's so common and it's like, that people get it as, you know, graduation gifts and everyone puts a headshot on their resume. So they have to look as white as possible in the resume if they want to get a job. I'm like, I don't know that that's true, though.
Yeah.
Like, that feels like a bit of a stretch.
Well, okay. It does. Except, I mean, my only thing is here is like, it's like people used to get nose jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
All the time. Right?
And, that's true.
I mean, I always look. I'm always looking at when we're watching actors and stuff. And sometimes I'll go, good Lord, they've had work done.
Yes.
And you have to go back. Like, you have to go back and see what they looked like 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
To be able sometimes to pick it up.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
There's, I don't know, there's some character in what we've been watching. And I'm going, I don't know. You know, there's something weird there. Yeah, people go and get face jobs and nose jobs and everything else. And the problem is that in these episodes, in all of this, they want to make out wherever they are as the worst possible thing. And I swear, and it's not just that they go to a nativist website. I am sure they're going to someplace that's aligned with, you know, sort of Mercer Publications and Steve Bannon's
Breitbart nonsense of creepy white supremacy. Yeah.
Oh, because I mean, there is creepy stuff I've seen on. I've had people say, "Well, is this true?" They sent me stuff up from, you know, and when you start following the links, to
it always takes you back to creepy white supremacist stuff.
Well, nine times out of ten, it takes you back to creepy Russian stuff.
Well, yeah, that's
true. What's really
well. Then again, but I mean, you want to say white supremacist? Huh? That's Russia too. They don't like non-white people in Russia.
So I guess Putin's going to come down with COVID-19 soon.
Well, we're not going to do much COVID-19 talk here on the.
No,
thing.
We're not. Going
that
to.
Was six it's months.
All
ago.
Over. We'll know. Yes. You guys will already know what happened.
How this all
okay,
turned
out. Okay, let's go back
yes.
to the South Korean
That's
episode.
What I was trying to do.
No, and besides, here's what I don't understand, right? Yeah. Is that they give the impression it's that people, because they don't quite come out and say they want everybody to look as white as possible. As
no, they use coded language. But
they
that's...
use coded language, but that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Except that it turns out that this guy, of course, had one of his early fiancés have plastic surgery to look like an anime character.
Well, yeah, but I mean, famously, and this is a lot of this assumption that the whole idea is that anime characters, the reason they look so strange, it's that they're Asian women with Caucasian features. Like,
yeah,
generally.
But no Caucasian has round, round eyes like Sailor Moon.
Well, no, not that round, but the anime look is an exaggerated idea of the differences between Caucasians and Asians. And that's why they all have super circular eyes, because in comparison to the traditionally Asian feature of narrow eyes, they look round. And so when you exaggerate that in art, it becomes just perfectly round. And yeah, it's unbelievably creepy when you see the women who have had that surgery.
It's like, why would you do this?
Oh, it's hard to look at, yeah.
But anyway, what I would say is, no, I mean, honestly, You know, I didn't know what to make of the episode, honestly. It's a god-awful episode.
Oh, no, it's a terrible episode, but it's like, it tiptoes around these issues of race in a really weird way. Yeah. And they keep getting to the edge of it and saying, like, oh, well, he finally just got himself a white woman because that was, you know, what he had wanted all along. And I'm like, well, at least you're admitting it finally when we meet his fiance.
Well, and the thing is, this is right, you know, this whole business of in the bars and stuff, right?
Oh, yes.
In the nightclub, that whole, the opening sequence in the nightclub.
And where the woman who is a teacher by day. Makes extra money in a hostess club, essentially hanging out with Asian men for money because there is some, you know, again, massive positive association with someone being a white woman in an Asian country. And I'm like, I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, how much of this is racist fear mongering and how much of this is what the culture is actually like there? And my instinct now, based on everything we've learned about the countries from watching after we watch episodes, is it's probably not as bad as the show says it is.
No, it probably isn't. Like, yeah. I take a look at, like, and this, you know, this whole idea, you know, this American, well, she's not a college student, as the synopsis says. She's already over there. She's teaching English as a second language. And so, yeah. I mean, I know that most of the people that I knew that have gone over there, very few of them come back with bad stories.
Yeah.
You know, other than they wanted to keep this one couple I knew who were teaching there, that they wanted to keep him because they just liked him. Right.
Yeah.
And so they were a little, they took a little while to be persuaded that, no, they had to give back the passports because they wanted to come back. I mean, and he would have just stayed, except that there were some extenuating circumstances.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, they came back.
So he loved it there, and they loved him, but for whatever reason, he couldn't stay.
You know, and his partner loved it there, too. You know, I mean, it's not like...
Well, I know people who teach in South Korea as well, and all I hear about is what a wonderful country it is.
Yeah!
And so it's like every now and then, I'm like, hey, you're not worried about the, you know... 400 howitzers aimed right at your city because they were all around Seoul. And they were like, nah, it's just day-to-day life here. Nobody really thinks that that North Korea is going to be stupid enough to start bombarding the city.
No, and as I said, that was the reaction I used to get when I went to Israel and Palestine, that with my mother, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and people, blah, 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 blah. There were these missiles and there was this sort of, they hustled us back a little thing, but basically it's luck of the draw. Life goes on. You enjoy yourself. You go to the markets.
Yeah. You can't just think about that all the time.
And you don't even really think about it because most of the time it's just not going to happen. I don't know. America just seems to want to be afraid all the time.
Well, I mean, that's the American character, though, is just being afraid of everything all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something you can just watch on YouTube. We're not going to do our whole Profiling America segment right now, although this isn't a terrible time for it. We've already done that a lot recently. If you ever watched Bowling for Columbine, right?
Yeah.
Michael Moore... in it has this wonderful little animated sequence explaining, and everybody should watch it. I'm sure it's on YouTube, or you just watch the whole movie. It's a good movie. It glosses over one central fact about the Columbine shooters, that they were scumbag Nazis. They were not bullied teens who wanted to strike back. They were scumbag Nazis who did their crime on Hitler's birthday because they were inspired by the Oklahoma City bombing. But of course, that hadn't really all come out yet when he was making that movie, so...
No, no, the stuff that you find out afterwards, you can't blame someone for not knowing.
I know, that stuff. I'm just saying it's more sympathetic to the murderers than I would like, because it assumes that the narratives about them being bullied teens were true.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is what I would say there. But more importantly, it's more about gun culture in America, and what Michael Moore diagnoses America as, like the cornerstone of their gun culture, is that they're the most terrified country in the world. Like, Americans are scared of everything all the time. And that is what, you know, that is what the gun culture is fundamentally about. It's that they feel unsafe constantly. Because, yeah. I mean, because they don't feel like they belong there. And they're worried at any moment that, like, someone is going to reveal that they don't belong there and try and run them out. So they just surround themselves with guns and machismo all the time.
Yeah, it's a very strange. Like, I found the first two episodes, and then it was like they got exceedingly worse as we went down these three episodes. But I can remember thinking as I was watching the first one, and after I finished sort of watching the first one, I moved to the second one.
Right.
And even that wasn't, because we'll get to that, but the first couple are still, you still have that sense that they're being restrained or constrained by the reviews of the first year.
Yes.
That they are mindful really of hot.
The criticisms.
They're mindful of the criticisms, yes. But they can't keep it up.
No. They go back to old habits very quickly, as we see in this episode, where...
Well, this... Yeah, but even...
For the love of God, in this episode, the villain is presented as an Asian horror ghost character at the end of the episode. Like, straight out of The Ring.
I know!
She's dressed in flowing white robes and has matted black hair and a monster face. Like, what am I watching?
Excuse me. Does plastic, is there any, if this is the center of plastic surgery in Asia, or the world, the best plastic surgeons, no plastic surgeon would have done this.
I know.
Now, they try and give it a reason why, but I'm going, yeah, that happens with bad plastic surgery.
Exactly. With terrible plastic surgeons, and she would have access to the best.
She had access to the best.
Yeah. And I guess what they're trying to, maybe they're trying to say that, well, after he dumped her, wait, maybe they're trying to say after he dumped her, she went to shadier and shadier surgeons to try and perfect herself or something, but even that seems like a stretch.
No, come on. She had loads and loads of money.
That's true, yeah.
She was a real estate agent. She had loads and loads and loads and loads of money.
Yeah, and she's a high-end real estate agent because she was able to, you know, hang out with this unbelievably rich and influential guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like she was just some person.
Yeah, she was his fiance, and then, of course, he dumped her, but he only dumped her a year ago.
I know. Like,
so it's like this happened in a year?
Yeah, no, it's insane.
Freaking mind?
It's legit crazy.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is plastic surgery that does this, but I've never seen anything. I mean, I've seen sort of horror stories of plastic surgery because you can see
gone awry. Yeah,
plastic surgery gone awry, and I'm going, yeah. Some of those people with their when they do their eyelids and stuff, like
oh, I know, yeah.
And then they look like their eyes are always startled.
Even yeah,
Nancy Pelosi looks a little like that.
Has a bit of that look with her eye lifts. Yeah,
yeah.
Like she's a little surprised all the time.
Yeah, you know, and. And I'm going, yeah, I mean, there's problems, but I've never...
Do something. No, but the idea that she's got, like, these plastic inserts into her chin and things like that, and these weird, just obvious plates thrown on top of her cheeks, like, she looks like a nightmare creature. And again, she's wearing the white robes and has the long, matted black hair. Come on, guys! Well, because it raises the question, and this is something that you'll notice happens on Criminal Minds a lot. Which is, they will base their first wrong assumption based on the MO of what has happened so far, and then we'll have a twist of who really did it. But once we find out the twist of who really did it, all of the initial assumptions of what happened fly out the window. Because, and I can't stress this enough, how did this monster lady get this woman to go with these women to go with her?
Go with her.
How?
Oh, like, did she, well, maybe she is the woman from The Ring,
yes, the ghost from ghost The Ring,
and she can just transport them.
Well, the ghost from The Ring can't actually do that, but yes.
Well,
now I'm being a ridiculous nerd.
Yeah,
nerd. No, but you're right. Like, what is going on with this? Because when the fact that these women are all educated, they, I mean, to the extent that they are higher status to the point that they are able to be operating in a foreign country. They are white women in a foreign country. So obviously they come from a high enough social class that they can, that that is seen as a convenient option for them to do. And yet somehow they all end up dragged away by a delusional monster lady who's unable to hold a conversation with anyone. Like, who is terrifying to look at, right? And seemingly doesn't speak English. Well, she probably does, but, you know, they don't show her speaking English. Most people in South Korea speak, you know, English. It's a very common language there. Yeah. But right there, and you watch it, and you're like, how did she get these women to go with her? And it's like, oh, maybe she had a gun. Well, really hard to get a gun in South Korea is the thing.
Yeah.
So that seems kind of impossible.
Like, all of it. Like, you could do all your meanwhiles, but they never explain anything. Like, it's just like this.
No.
Well, all these episodes are all only about, well, no, I guess they
were. They're all 38 minutes long.
Yeah, 38, 39 minutes. Like, it's, yeah. They're even shorter.
Yeah.
Than the 42 minutes.
Than the 42-minute episodes we get out of Criminal Minds, because we were always talking about how we got 42 minutes. We just finished, of course, doing season 12, and you got this weird thing where it's like, it's a 42-minute episode, but we got to spend 10 minutes with Reed every episode for the back half of the season.
Yeah.
Ergo, you've only got 30 minutes to do a story, and that leads to some really bad storytelling, that because they're not able to tell a story in 30 minutes. And here, they've got like 3 minutes less for some reason than an episode of Criminal Minds. Oh. And it's just not coherent a lot of the time, because they do not establish how this woman could have pulled any of this off.
And the 3 minutes, right? The 3 minutes, I suspect, is for extra commercial time.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
To pay for this.
So, yeah, because it's a more expensive show, clearly. Yeah,
much more expensive.
Yeah, but no, it's a frustrating episode. And then you've got the most ridiculous thing in the world. So this guy comes onto their radar, because they're like, okay, is anyone, you know, been abusing ladies? And oh, they find this guy who's a rich guy who's been abusing ladies in abroad, right? He's the son of a rich guy. He's rich himself. Oh, and by the way, why is, like, I understand why, because he had missed on arresting him before. James Kyson, their local liaison, thank you is the word I'm looking for, their liaison is a jerk after. Like, he really wants to get this guy, and they're like, it's probably not him. I understand. But why is he a jerk from the start of the episode?
Yeah.
Like, from the moment he meets them, he doesn't like them. He doesn't like that they're there. And he's completely unsympathetic to their methods or what they want to do and blah, 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 blah. And my question becomes, like, I understand that after they're saying it's not the guy he wants it to be. But at the start of the episode, he has no idea that the suspect is going to wind up being this guy he hates. So why is he already mad at them at the start of the episode?
I have no idea. Like, I have no idea about that either. Because South Korea and Americans, as far as I understand it, like, yeah, I mean,
it's a very close relationship.
It's a close, and you know, I mean, there's an awful lot of, as with Simmons' father.
Yeah.
Who married a Korean woman, right?
Yeah. And yeah, his family was racist, but he had no trouble marrying a Korean woman.
No, his family was racist, and his mother had just been, you know, dumped.
Yeah.
You know, we don't ever find out why the grandmother dumped her in an orphanage.
I mean, presumably poverty after the war.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah, but we don't get any details.
You know, or who knows, you know. Yeah, you know, she had no money. She couldn't take care of the child.
Yeah, no, so it would logically be poverty after the Korean War.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not told, but that's the implication.
Yeah, you know, so I'm sort of sitting here going,
like, it's a very close relationship. Why is he such a jerk for half of the episode?
Yeah.
Before he has a reason to be.
Because there's, who knows, you know, and then you get all of these people just, oh, well, that's the way these people are. You know, I mean, that's the looks. You get the looks all
the time.
Well,
you know, they're so prideful there. Like, yeah, Americans have a right to be lecturing anybody about pridefulness.
You know, I mean, like, that's the thing, right? That's why I say, you know, they're still trying to be mindful, right? But it's the way everybody looks. Like you're just going, so are all of these actors and actresses really part of this kind of right-wing American exceptionalism? All people are idiots? I mean, I don't know. It's the looks on their faces, right?
I mean, I'm sure Gary Sinise is.
Well, yeah, but
Gary Sinise is a very proud Republican still today.
Yeah.
Which, and the funny part is, because Gary Sinise is such a proud Republican, right? It keeps them from doing what would make this show interesting, which is to say, oh my God, like, how hard is it being there is no real international FBI task force. We know that. We talked about that. But if there were, imagine how hard it would be to do that job now that Donald Trump is president of the United States.
Oh, yeah. But, well, because every time they go to the foreign country is going to go, say what?
Exactly.
Shut your mouth and get the hell out of here.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and it's this, I was talking with somebody the other day about how delusional it is that the last three seasons of Criminal Minds didn't address the fact that they're FBI agents and the president of the United States is currently at war with the FBI. Yeah. And it's like, how do you do that? I can only imagine what the show FBI is doing, but you know what? Maybe they're also delusionally pretending everything is normal.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's like,
we're not watching FBI.
Oh no, we're not watching it. But it's like, I feel like the FBI right now, the only way to honestly do that show is to do endless episodes about how militias keep trying to murder people and the FBI keeps trying to work on it, but the militias all have the tacit approval of the president of the United States, and it makes it hard to do their job. But I don't know. I haven't watched the show FBI, so I can't say. But that would be the only honest thing to do. But this show, imagine how much more interesting the show would be if, instead of either A, everybody being super happy the FBI is here to sort things out because we don't know how to do stuff in our country.
Yeah, oh my God. Or, heaven forbid that we know.
Or starting with, oh, we don't trust the FBI, but over the course of the episode, we learn that you guys are the only ones who know how to be cops. Like, those are the two kinds of episodes we do, right? And imagine how much more interesting it would be if this show had to deal with the fact that the president of the United States was going around, you know, essentially threatening all of the countries they go to all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like,
racist. Yeah.
And not just a racist, but actively threatening those countries. Yeah. And it's like, you talk about South Korea, you talk about how, like, South Korea is raping the American steel industry. It's a thing this man has actually said. You know, it's like, this is the kind of nonsense that is happening in international politics right now. And yet you've got this show about international policing that pretends it's still the 90s and everybody's friendly. And it's this Francis Fukuyama end of history. We're all international. World is flat nonsense now. It's really weird to be like,
but
this
America's
show would be bad.
The best.
Oh, yeah, no, of course, America's the best, but everybody's equal, and you can just go anywhere now, right? Like, it's so weird to, like, it's bad enough that this show is just a terrible racist show, but it also seems to be taking place in a fictional version of the world that has no relation to the way any of us are living right now.
Yeah.
And that's why it seems so alien. So yeah, it's like, Trump really is the has been the president the entire length of this show, and it's not like he didn't start out immediately, right, becoming the, it's like, it's not like he didn't start out immediately being horrible. It's not like it's not like he started out just a normal Republican president and then got super racist. He was super racist right from the start. He was harassing other countries and being awful to them right from the start. And the idea that all of these characters in these other countries are just totally fine with America, like, they went to Africa, and it's like, first off, Trump doesn't even seem to understand that Africa is a continent, not a country, you know? Right? And he has nothing but disrespect for Africa and Africans. And yet they're able to go there, and the cops are just like, yeah, we'll help you find your crazy right-wing religious people. I'm going off on a tangent. Let's say one last thing,
stop,
and then move
please
on to the next episode. No, I'll stop my tangent. We'll go on to one last thing, and we'll go on to the next episode. And that is, what kind of fantasy world is this show living in to imagine that Saudi Arabia cares enough about sex workers that he would be able to immediately extradite a super rich South Korean guy to Saudi Arabia?
Well,
what kind of fantasy are you living in?
Well, now here's the bizarre part. What I would say in response to that is, yes, but Donald Trump and Saudi Arabian MBS, or whatever his initials are, have a special relationship.
They do, but that special relationship does not include caring about what happens to sex workers.
No, just wait a sec. Please. Just wait a sec. Because as I was saying that, I'm going, yeah, but that's the man that tortured and hacked up.
Yeah.
Okay, no, shut up, Sheila.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the guy who murders journalists. That guy.
Anyway, so let's go into Maiden.
Please, Maiden. And by the way, an episode where we, based on the title and location, last week told you the entire plot of this episode. But please continue.
Yeah, and okay. The IRT travels to the Dhaka, Bangladesh. Oh, to the Dhaka, Bangladesh.
Yeah.
To Baka. To Dhaka.
There we go. To Baka. Okay. Bangladesh.
I'm reading what's in front of me.
Dhaka,
right?
Bangladesh. Yes, please continue.
Okay. When two American entrepreneurs are abducted by a group of masked men, as the investigation continues, the team begins to believe that they were taken by someone they were doing business with in the country.
Okay.
That was all one sentence.
And what a sentence.
Misplaced comma.
No. Please.
No.
Oh, meanwhile.
Meanwhile, Clara tries to move on from her late husband, Brad.
Oh, yeah, because she's moving. And by the way, what is going on? What is the coroner's name? I always forget her name.
May?
May, thank you. What is wrong in your life that you're moving every year?
Mm-hmm.
That lady, and it's like, they just mention it as a quirk of a character. I'm like, oh, she's running away from something. Oh, boy, yeah. Is she running away from something if she is moving every year. Like, that's, that, like, do you, have you ever heard of anything like that? Like, going out of your way to get a new home every single year?
Unless
this is a woman who is running away from her past.
Maybe, well, no, maybe, maybe she just gets a raise every year and therefore wants to move up to a better apartment.
FBI agents don't get paid that much.
Hey, she's a special FBI agent.
Still
she's
doesn't matter.
Never mind. Hey, I'm just trying to, you know.
No, there's something seriously wrong with that woman if she's moving every year.
Yeah. Anyway, again, never mind.
It's not important, but it's worth thinking about. Like, that. Apparently May's screwed up as well. So, for nerds in the audience, the fun thing about this episode, who are the two entrepreneurs? God and Gabriel from Supernatural. Wasn't that a nice surprise?
Yeah, I'm looking
at God
them.
And it's Gabriel. And I'm like, oh, yay. I'm so
and
happy
God
to see them.
God gets killed.
No, Gabriel gets killed.
Oh, it's Gabriel gets
killed. The bigger guy. The tiny weenie guy is the guy who plays God. Who was all, you know, who hid out on Earth pretending to write that, like, thinking he was a prophet of the Lord, but then he didn't realize he was actually God the whole time. Because he moved himself to Earth and forgot he was God and just wrote books about Supernatural. Yeah, that's who was playing the guy who survived.
Okay, I'm replacing it. Yes, okay, yeah. Okay. It's been a while.
No, I mean, it's Supernatural. You don't need to remember it that well. Don't worry.
But I thought, because when you... Never mind.
Okay.
We're not doing a show about Supernatural.
No,
so,
we're not.
We're in Dhaka, Bangladesh. The thing... the bothered me about this. Well, I will tell you, first of all, there's a good thing.
Please.
I did think maybe we were going to get Islam coming into this, and we didn't.
No, it didn't at all. They go and they brace a local gang who wasn't responsible for the kidnapping, obviously, who happened to be Muslims, but it's not that they're not religious extremists in any way, shape, or form or anything like that. They're literally just a street gang who happens to be a Muslim street gang. know, yeah. And that's it.
And that, yes. So they're not fundamentalist or extremists or anything like that. In any way, that.
Shape, or form. In the same way that, you know, street gangs might be made of. I was about to use the KKK as an example. And I'm like, actually, no, they are Christian extremists. That's a really bad example. No, in the same way that, much better example, in the same way that the mafia are all Catholic.
Yeah.
These guys just happen to be Muslim.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the crimes they're committing. No, KKK, so okay. 100% that is religion is the problem.
Yeah. Anyway, so what I'm saying, yeah, I mean, we won't go into that right now. Right. So what I'm saying is, okay, so
yeah, that was a relief. Absolutely.
They didn't go down that road.
No, and I was very happy about that. You're totally, like, I noticed that too. Okay, and I was very happy.
Okay, the road they did go down, they didn't push it. Like, nope. I was so, I just, well, if I already hadn't written this show off as an asinine example, right? Of xenophobic idiocy. You know, they don't, like, somehow or another, they never, ever, ever in this entire episode take on the fact that what these Americans are doing, and it's not just Americans, because in Europe, Sweden, the rest of it, they don't give a shit about these people. This is why, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I do remember we were talking somewhere about the fact that the reason we have all of these friggin' cheap clothes.
Oh yeah, we talked about this briefly last week when we were talking about the premise of the episode. Is slavery. I mean, it's slavery.
It's basically slavery. They don't care. And the Americans. And I mean, the thing is, this has been going on since the 70s. I don't know if you ever remember. No, you wouldn't. I was going to say if you remember.
Do you remember? No, I don't remember the 70s. Thank you very much.
No, you wouldn't remember the 70s.
How could I?
Anyway, no, but what I was going to say is Love Story.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, well, I've and seen that
Love
was,
Story.
You know, and then, and doing things in China, for example, and the Chinese, you know, but the Chinese have much more control of that.
Oh, of course.
You know, whereas in these other countries.
This kind of production, and there's no nice way to say this, is the new colonialism.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's not as bad as the old colonialism, because they aren't lining up fields of these people and shooting them when they refuse to work in a clothing factory, but it's, like, it's not as awful, but it's every bit as immoral.
Right? Well, the thing is that these countries are so poor,
yep.
Right, that you're able to take advantage of them, and then some of their own people take advantage of them,
yep.
And, you know, and it's not just that one guy. Like that guy.
This, by the way, in the exact same way that during colonialism, there were always locals working for the British. There were always locals working for the Dutch. There were always locals who would sell out their own people for a better life for themselves. That's always been integral to how colonialism worked. You can't govern if you don't speak the language. So you have to have locals who work for you.
Or you learn the language. Anyway, and the thing is, right, here's another big problem that I just finished earlier this week watching the 2-hour Vietnam thing from Ken Burns.
Oh.
Right? And about perfect American. Timing. Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, it is, it's actually very well balanced. I don't know who he did it with, but it's actually an extremely well balanced thing about Vietnam, and because it talks to soldiers, who Marines, actually, like, there were the thread running through it are these Marines,
okay,
who had basically all known one another. I mean, some of them did die, but you know, and talking about, you know, realistically about why they joined up and why they went. And And as one guy says, no, he said, we were Boy Scouts. We really believed. He said, and then you just kind of at some point have to start thinking about it, you know, and it is just, it just amazing. And Vietnam is, yeah, I mean, you can understand, I mean, trying to explain, right? Just trying to explain, you know, the problems of all of these groups that got shall we say, like Chiang Kai-shek in China. That was much earlier. I mean, Mao did. I guess Mao was like Che, you know. Anyway, you know, if they actually did something, you know, I mean, I could see them talking about Mao that way, the way they talked about Che.
Oh, absolutely. Now
Mao was driven. Never mind. And there was like all of these histories have some really bad things. But you're sitting here going, looking at, and Bangladesh is one of those places. There are all sorts of other places like that where they don't get paid anything close to a living wage. But, you know, so the whole family. So this guy has lost his entire family and he blames American entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Which he frigging should.
Rightly so.
Like, you American know, now, capitalism killed his family. And the sickening part of this episode is, the show acknowledges that that's what his motive is, and then immediately moves on. Oh, I guess he's mad because his whole family died making jeans. Yep. Yeah. Oh, well, now let's go capture him. And, like, they do the little facile, oh, well, we understand, you know, we understand you feel heartbroken, but hurting this guy isn't going to bring your family back. And it's blah, blah, you know, they do the thing, but it's no, this guy has a frigging reason to be upset. No, these specific guys didn't hurt his family, but they represent.
They would have hurt other families because they were in bed with one of the Bangladeshi.
Scumbag, one of the endless scumbag Bangladeshi clothing manufacturers. And it fundamentally didn't matter to these two guys who got hurt for them to make money. They weren't going out of their way to only make a deal with like ethical clothing suppliers in Bangladesh. They were going to find a factory to make their clothes, and that's all they cared about.
Well, yeah, but they make it seem as if they had left the one guy who had paid for everything because he wasn't ethically. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Anyway, and then, what was really funny, right, to me was, oh, but this one guy is speaking Urdu.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the language really that people speak in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Huh. And I'm just going, say what? Is that your way to appease people in Bangladesh? Like this was just, I mean, it is actually a problem we have sometimes in Criminal Minds as well.
Yeah.
That sometimes some of these guys have justified reasons
for the stuff they do.
It's kind of warped, and I don't approve of vigilantism because that's what this is. He's just a vigilante, you know, taking, you know, basically in his head, if he kills all of these, I would say if in his head, if he killed all of these entrepreneurs, these Americans and Germans and Swedes. And why do you think H&M has such cheap clothes?
Oh yeah.
Not because they make them in Sweden.
No, I mean, it's H&M, it's Zara, it's The Gap. Like they are exploiting. They're paying slave labor wages, right? Like,
yeah, it's
that bad. And that is why clothes are cheap.
Yeah. Well, and it's like Walmart. It was funny, right? One of the factories a few years ago, three or four, actually, this would be referring back to one of these factories that burned down and all of these people got killed. Well, it turned out, right, that Joe Fresh, a Canadian company, was making, right? Well,
I'm disgusted by Joe Fresh generally.
Never mind our Loblaws, right?
Yeah, I know.
Part of this President's Choice thing, but
brand,
Joe Fresh.
Yeah.
And I can still remember this one woman going, I didn't know that Joe Fresh made their clothes
in Bangladesh.
It was just like, okay, I guess I can't shop there again. No, if you want to do ethical shopping, you know, I mean, they forced The Gap to start paying having unions in their companies down in Latin America.
Thank heavens.
You know, but The Gap was forced into it because people just got so pissed off and then stopped buying at The Gap.
Yeah. And the thing is, by the way, and what I want to make it clear is this guy's plan to murder people to stop capitalism was not a good idea.
No, it's because, not going to work.
Fundamentally, and this is what you have to remember when you're fighting capitalism, they don't care about, it doesn't care about human lives.
No.
All it cares about is whether it's turning a profit. Boycotts and strikes are the only things that hurt capitalism. And that's what this guy should have, you know, been working on a little more. He should have been focusing on getting people to organize and strike.
Yeah, but probably he
I mean, wasn't, he was, I mean, was, it's not, that's not within his wheelhouse, I get
yeah,
it, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
It's not within his wheelhouse, I get it.
But that is, because that's how it happened in Canada, that's how it happened in the United States, that's how it happened in Europe.
Yeah, working conditions got so bad that people were willing to do, you know, massive strikes, and then the companies would send men with machine guns to try and murder the strikers to scare everybody back into work. And then they would have, you know, a civil war. And then eventually the government would get in, come in and pass a law ordering the companies to do the things the worker wanted. Because a company would never agree to it. You need the government to come in and order it. Because the government at some point has to step in because they're not making any revenue anymore because, you know, they get funded by taxes. It's a messy situation.
But, right, I mean, when you think, I mean, and here's the other thing. I mean, we've got a plague, right? Now, we may get a virus soon, and we may get a vaccine soon.
Yeah.
By soon, I mean, if we're lucky, within a couple of years. Like, yeah. You know,
hopefully in 2021, yes.
Yeah, you know, that's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, if that did it, because every other plague, right, sees a reordering of a society.
Yes.
Right? And I can see some of that sort of already kind of little things happening in the U.S. in certain places that are really funny, right? And then there's all the backlash against it. But, and even in Canada, like we have been talking about, for example, a basic income.
Yeah.
And what we're doing right now is providing everyone, it may not be an ample income,
but we're providing a basic income. Yeah.
Everyone with a basic income across the country. Not everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no access to any of that because I'm still working, right?
Yeah.
Not only that, but even then, it's not COVID-19 that's affecting when I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get a contract or if the university doesn't open up in September, then I'm having
an impact. You're eligible for this. Yeah.
Yeah, then I would be eligible. Look, this is my course. I would have been teaching this, and this is like $8,000.
Pay me the money. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and the thing is, maybe we should just do this all the time. I've had debates with people who've been like, I don't see the value of, you know, it's like I believe in the free market. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, you can't have a free market when the person who needs a job, like, is not negotiating from an equal position.
Yeah.
And as long as the person who needs a job, who is trying to get a job, will starve to death in a gutter if they don't get a job, well, then they're not really negotiating from an equal position of power, are they?
No. And that's what happens in these places.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. Like, we here in North America, but especially Canada, we understand that there's a social safety net if you can't find work. In Bangladesh, not so much.
No.
You will die in a gutter if you don't accept one of these jobs. So you will accept one of these jobs no matter how badly it pays.
Yeah, and when you
Just FYI, just FYI, everybody, never eat cashews. And if you want to know why, just watch a video on the internet. You can find little documentaries about how cashews are produced. I'm not saying it's by slave labor, because someone might sue me if I did. But I'm saying never eat cashews.
Yeah, anyway, what's really interesting, too, is that we are going to run across this situation again when we go to Wise Guy.
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole arc in Wise Guy that touches on this.
Yeah, so we are definitely...
Yeah, but the reason is, and I think I think the reason we can't really focus on the plot of this episode is because the message of this episode is so wonky. Like, it really is. And just the fact that it's so insulting to everyone involved in these real life awful situations to watch this show, right? Look at, and I mean, it can see what the problem is. It can see that this guy is justified. It can see that American companies are you know, exploiting and pillaging this country to the and murdering its people and causing these things to happen. I mean, if you punch someone in the face enough times, eventually they're going to punch back, no matter how different your social status is.
Yeah.
Right? But this episode, it like, you can see that it understands, like it knows the problem is there. It almost accepts that the problem is America's fault. But at the last second, it's just like, no, the guy's just driven mad by grief. Well, yeah, but it's the system of capitalism that caused his grief.
Yeah, it's the system that your country worships.
That caused this to happen. And the show can't engage with that, and it can't admit that.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this the most frustrating episode so far.
Yeah, this was...
season, obviously, nothing's going to be worse than Cuba.
From last season. Yeah, of the whole show, nothing...
We'll get to Mexico next week, so who knows. But
Singapore's pretty bad.
Singapore is pretty bad. Hey, speaking of, let's move on to the Singapore.
Please.
Synopsize away.
Cinderella and the Dragon. The IRT travels to Singapore when an American flight attendant is found dead in luggage transport. Whilst the team investigates the murder, they must also be forced to find a suspect caught on video who may be innocent whilst in conflict with local authorities who want to see the most harsh sentence executed on the suspect. They also learn a more sinister motive may be at play. It's all one friggin' sentence. Oh my God.
When am I come on, give me a period. I need to know when to take a breath here. Come on.
I'm going to give this to my ESL students and say, can you make...
Can you figure out how this sentence should have been written?
Yeah. But let me give you a clue. Let's have four sentences. I want you to turn this one sentence into four sentences.
Oh my God, it's so true. But anyway. we watched and in the description below this video, you're going to see a link. Hopefully the link is still live. It's a man who lives in Singapore. And he did two videos about this episode and how terrible it was. We're not going to crib from him too extensively.
No.
But, it's pretty bad. This episode, if you live in Singapore, is apparently really bad and they get everything wrong. And it's weird because every now and then when we're watching this show, we know when they get stuff wrong. But I assume you, like I, don't know anything about Singapore.
Well, I know something about Singapore, so I already knew that
they was mostly wrong.
That there were problems with what they were doing, particularly. I mean, it's like somebody is living in the past, right? Oh,
absolutely. Well, and the guy in the video actually mentions that, because it's like, you're still complaining about a kid who got caned 23 years ago?
Right.
Like,
this is
how is this still an issue?
But I thought that immediately when I was going through this whole gum thing, and then the kid was vandalizing.
Yeah, he was.
Right? He was a vandal. He somehow or another American kid who goes there. He wasn't dealing drugs or anything.
No.
But he gets drunk and he starts to vandal all sorts of stuff.
Like he like broke car windows and he stole a street sign and like. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he should have been beaten. I think corporal punishment is screwed up, but to have the show then say, you know, he claims he was innocent, and the police beat a confession out of him, and I'm like, come on.
And as they say, the whole country is covered with CCTV.
CCTV.
Yeah, CCTV.
Yeah.
Right? It's hilarious.
I'm sure they had evidence that he did it.
Yes. The one thing I will say that I didn't pick up, and this is only because I don't understand any of the Asian languages at all. So I can't tell the difference. But this guy, right, he's called Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, as the one cop is talking, right? He says, Chinese! Why is he speaking Chinese? We don't speak Chinese!
Well, no, they do speak Chinese, but he's like, he's using words that Chinese people use for things when Singaporeans use a completely different Chinese word for that. And no, someone who only speaks Chinese wouldn't know that, because it wasn't written by people from Singapore. It was written, they just handed it off to the person who could write in Chinese, and they just wrote it. And he's like, these are not the colloquialisms a native Singaporean would use.
Well,
and how the point he makes over and over again, though, that was even funnier is everybody speaks English in Singapore.
Yeah, I know.
All official government business is done in English. You know, cops aren't calling other cops and speaking Chinese. And all of the signs. And the funny part is, if you look at all of the signs, because he shows a bunch of photographs of in his video, he shows a ton of photographs of places in Singapore. And the interesting thing about it is all of the signs are English first, Chinese second. Because they're an international city.
The whole thing was just weird, right?
Yeah.
It was, I mean, there were a couple of little things. And I mean, I've always said that they pick wonderful, wonderful
stock footage. Oh, absolutely.
It was so funny when he did the second one. This was a guy who watched it twice.
Yeah.
We haven't even done that. This guy watched it twice.
I appreciate his commitment.
Yes, and in the second one, it keeps going. Stock footage.
Well, and I think my favorite complaint of his is it's like, is it Chinese New Year? Why are there red lanterns in every shot? And I'm like, that's a really good point, buddy.
It's just like, I'm going, no, Singapore has some of the best. If you get Singapore Chinese food, like they make some crack about you have to go get their chicken and rice. You have it because Australia, right? Yeah. When we were living in Australia, and this would have been the 70s, right?
Right.
We were there, my husband and I, my first husband and I. And, you know, what you got was Singapore Chinese food. I have a cookbook. I bought a cookbook specifically of Singapore Chinese food because it was. Oh, it was to die for.
Okay.
It was to die for, you know, and the, even then but they have to somehow or another make a crack about chicken and rice. Well, I guess maybe it's good.
I know. Like,
if everybody's saying it, well, yeah, because let me tell you that the Chinese food that you could get from Singapore, or at least the stuff that we got in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And it was from Singapore.
Yeah, it's Singapore people moving to there and opening restaurants. Yes,
and it was good. It was still good, and I still have the recipe book in my shelf.
Wow, there you go, Singaporean chef. So the show gets that right at least, that the food really is that good. Although he does make one unfair crack that they say, "Should we get some sushi on the way home?" And he's like, "This isn't Japan. What are you talking about?" And I'm like, well, no, buddy. It was a joke about the fact that the case was actually about fish.
About fish, yeah. So, that was
He was unfair. From what I can tell, he was unfair only once.
Only once was he
unfair in his complaints.
I watched the episode, and you know, you watch this video, and you're just going, okay, we don't really have to do an episode.
We could just tell people to watch the video, but we will address them.
All our complaints. And I'm just going, and more that we didn't know because we're Canadian.
Because we don't know anything about Singapore.
We don't know enough.
Okay, I will bring something up that was a big problem in the episode. And it was very stupid and it bothered me a lot. So the beginning of the episode, we see the ladies who the episode is going to be out on the plane. And then they are, what do you call it? Then they, one of them gets thrown into the luggage transport, like gets strangled and thrown into the luggage. What do you call it? The luggage conveyor belt. Thank you. I could not find the word conveyor belt for some reason. It happens to all of us. I hope. Down to the luggage conveyor belt. She's thrown in the luggage conveyor belt and the other one flees and there's blood on her face when she's fleeing. They're like, she must have done it, is what the Singaporeans police immediately think. But, you know, they call in the FBI because both the suspect and the victim are Americans, so they want to be sure every T is crossed, every I dot. And I get that. But the problem is, and this is the key part of the episode, they acknowledge that there are CCTV cameras everywhere in Singapore. Yet they expect us to believe this woman running from the airport on foot, they have no idea where she went. Right? That seems like a stretch. What about all these CCTV? A white woman with, a black woman the white woman is the one who gets murdered. A black woman with blood all over her face wearing a stewardess uniform is sprinting through the streets of Singapore and nobody sees that?
No, she must be really smart because she managed to evade all the CCTV.
But the CCTV, they're talking about the CCTV inside the security because the murder wasn't caught on camera, which is actually preposterous because the room they were murdered in is a luggage handling room. And by the way, if there's one place in an airport that's gonna have CCTV, it's everywhere there's luggage. Because they don't want luggage to get stolen. It's really bad for the airport's reputation if luggage is getting stolen, so those people are on camera even more so than the customers.
You would think, yeah.
Oh, no, 100%. That is true.
Yeah. Well, nowadays, like, sure.
Absolutely. Today, especially in massively international city, there's no way there aren't cameras everywhere. So I don't know how there isn't video footage of this murder, but I'll say something else. I don't understand why there's, like, really, I don't get why they're murdering these women. They're planning to murder these women at all.
Well, so, actually, what we find out from the big guy was they weren't supposed to murder.
I know, absolutely. But it's like, I don't know why the guys took it upon themselves to, like, these women had agreed to take part in their criminal scheme. They weren't trying to contact the authorities. They didn't step out. Yet the minute they walked into the luggage area, these guys tried to strangle them to death. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Obviously, you're next on the chopping block from the big show. Yeah.
And I guess you're right. The show does earn it by saying that these guys are bad at their job and the head honcho did not like what they did.
Yeah.
But it just seems completely out of left field. Go.
Okay, but I have another question.
Go.
That is never addressed.
Go.
Okay. Is what happened to the fish in the dead girl's leg?
I assume they took them. Although we never see, it's weird because he's very determined to find the fish, right?
Yeah. So
but
if
at the same time,
and obviously she had them on her leg.
Yeah, because
so
we see the tape.
How did the other girl get them off her leg
during this whole fight?
During this fight and run away with two bags of...
Yeah, because they act... You're right, they act like... Oh my god, you make a strong point, because they're acting like the fish... All of the fish are missing, and we see the fish tanks, and the fish tanks are empty.
Yeah.
Which suggests that the framed stewardess, 100%, had both sets of fish. But you're right, there's no way that could have happened.
No, but obviously the girl that was murdered must have had the fish around her leg.
Because the tape was all over her leg,
But nobody
Okay, wait,
about
wait,
that.
Wait. Okay, here, I do have an explanation for that.
Okay. Okay, let's
when
hear it.
When they were still on, like, the blonde lady got nervous, and I know the episode doesn't state this, so I am completely, this is all me, I'm not claiming this is the intent. The blonde lady got nervous, right? And on the plane, she's like, I can't do this anymore, it's freaking me out. And so the black lady said, here, take off your fish and I'll just put both fish in my overnight bag. And then you won't have to freak out about it anymore. Since remember, it was her brother was kidnapped and it was her boyfriend who was behind it all. So obviously she's the one who's, you know, more in on it. So she would feel willing to hand off the stuff to her friend. I would like to know, why were they going into a luggage area at all?
Yeah.
Like, is that part of your job, that you're going to this luggage area? I don't understand why it would be, because, you know, you are a flight attendant. Like, why are you walking around this luggage area?
Well, no.
To get ambushed,
because
they weren't supposed to be meeting the people there.
No. That one I have the answer for, although it's still stupid. Most flight attendants have a small bag. Because they only stay overnight, usually. If they stay at all, they stay overnight. So they have a small overnight bag. They take it into the plane with them. Now, wait a second. They take it into the plane with them, which is why it makes it even so stupider that they're in the luggage area to get their luggage.
Yeah, that's the part I didn't get.
Why are they going into this luggage
if they would have brought their bag on with them. Yeah.
So they actually put their luggage in the, you know, in the regular compartment with everybody else's luggage.
That doesn't seem like something they would do.
Don't. They don't.
Okay, good. I thought there was something fishy about that. Yeah, get it? Fishy? Huh? Huh? Okay, all right. I've made a fool of myself. I will stop now.
Because that would break. Because if they were in the hold, if their luggage was in the hold, then that girl couldn't, of course, take fish and put it in her bag.
See, so we're going to assume that what happened was they had the thing with them, and they traded off the fish. They traded off the fish, so she had both fish in her bag, and then from there, right? So they killed the other woman needlessly.
You see,
and only found out after the one woman run away that they didn't have either of the fish.
Okay, but guess what?
What?
Guess what? Here's what doesn't make any sense. That the other woman who's running away doesn't have any luggage or bags with her.
Actually, that's true. When she's sprinting away, she, you know what? Yeah, all right. I was wrong.
There's no way to save this. Like, there's no way to save that problem of the fish.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense. Like, honestly, the episode would make a ton more sense if, I know they wanted to be clever, but honestly, it would make a lot more sense if she did have heroin in her bag. Like, she was smuggling heroin.
Yeah, it would
That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But they wanted to be clever. Oh, we're surprising you. It's not about heroin after all the way you think it is.
Guess what?
It's actually about fish.
Okay. In the writing room, somebody came up with the line about the sushi.
And they worked backwards.
And they worked backwards and created the episode. Backwards.
No, and I honestly, I'm sure what it was is what always happens is they were reading like a New Yorker magazine about fish smuggling. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I haven't seen that on TV before. Let's put that in. It's like there was this episode of Planet Money, which is, not Planet Money, This American Life, Planet Money. But anyway, there was an episode of This American Life, right, about this internecine war in the world of people who dress up as Santa professionally, right? And so the different communities and blah, 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 blah. And so it's like every writer in Hollywood, 6 months after that episode of This American Life aired, like, every writer in Hollywood was like, oh, well, we've got to do an episode of our TV show about Santas fighting one another. And so it's like, you can go back to that year, 2013 or whatever, and there's like 9 episodes of television about Santa conventions and Santas going to war with each other. And I swear, this episode is literally just someone read a magazine article about fish smuggling in Asia, and they're like, well, we're doing a show about, crime in other countries. Let's do an episode about fish smuggling in Asia. And that is how these episodes happen. You know, they read something in the newspaper and then they just run with it.
Oh,
it's frustrating, but it's 100% what happens.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. So this is by no means a good episode. It's really terrible. As the guy says, everyone should be speaking English. This is Singapore. It is not that outlandish a city. No, they do have a legal system in Singapore. They don't just say you did it and then hang you the next week.
Yeah. I know. That
one was a surprising thing. It's like, she'll be dead. Like, she'll be dead in a matter of months if we don't find out what really happened. I'm like, are you sure that's true? Because I don't think that's true.
Oh, the whole thing was a crock. That whole attitude. As I said, it's like they read something from the 90s. They pulled up something from the 90s, you know.
About
Singapore. Because I do remember everybody got really bent out of shape about the gum one.
Yeah. About, you can be fined thousands of dollars if you chew gum and, you know, if you, stick your gum on a seat in a public area in Singapore, you know, and everyone in America was like, oh my God, my freedom. If I'm not allowed to just wantonly litter all the time, what would my life be like? And I'm like, well, dear Americans, it would be an incredibly minor inconvenience to you. And all of your highways wouldn't look like crap.
So, answer to the question.
But it's like, it's so frustrating. That the American character, I mean, we talked about it with Donald Trump before, is you can't tell me what to do. Like, that seems to be the ethos of their country, where it's like they seem to imagine, and you're seeing it right now. I hate to keep going back to COVID, but it's all that's on our frigging minds. But they seem to, it's like, if ever at any moment they aren't allowed to do whatever they feel like doing, they think that, you know, the world is ending.
Yeah, including lynching.
Including lynching. Well, yeah, that's a whole other thing that came out last week. But, like, including lynching, but the fact that, like, literally, you, in addition to the lynching, which is bad enough, but it's like, at all times, these people are like, it is part of the American character to, the minute you finish eating something in your car, to throw that garbage out the window of the car. And I'm like, why is that part of your character?
Yeah.
Like, why is... And it's this whole idea of, you know, they call it rugged individualism, but it's like an almost sociopathic narcissism where literally all that matters is my convenience in this moment. And I don't believe, like, I don't understand second order consequences.
Yeah. No.
You know, well, I don't understand that if everyone acts like I do, every roadside in America is going to be covered in trash. And by the way, every roadside in America is covered in trash. Because no American can see that actions have consequences. It's very strange.
It's a, look, it's a really, really, really strange, except for Andrew Cuomo. But well, anyway.
Obviously.
You know, if you were to do a psychological profile, you're just going, they just haven't gotten over. They just haven't gotten over their mommy issues. And well, mommy was Great Britain, right?
It's
you know,
true.
Mommy is Great Britain. They haven't gotten over their mommy issues.
Well, they're still all 2 years old. They're all emotionally 2 years old. They just figured out they're different people than their mothers. And so now all they can do is say no. Except that's the entire character of a country.
Yeah, right now,
and the
for
fact
sure.
And it's bad enough that that's the character of a country. But the fact that when they hear that anyone else in the world behaves any differently, their assumption is, oh, well, you people are primitive and doing it wrong. And I'm like, I don't hate the idea of living in a clean city.
No.
Like, what's so bad about living in a clean city?
What's so
well,
bad
you
about
don't
living
have freedom,
in a, what's you know? So bad about living in a quiet city?
And you know what the weird part for me is? All right, this is going to sound strange, but do you know the biggest change for me? I work from home. I'm a writer. I don't, the coronavirus hasn't changed my life pretty much at all. Do you know what the biggest change for me, and I'm not saying I would do great in Singapore, but do you know what the biggest change for me is? Now, because I'm worried about infection, when I go out and run errands, I don't pick up every bit of garbage I see and throw it in a garbage can.
Yeah.
Like, there is a trail between that is like 200 meters from here to the grocery store I run errands at, and every time I walk there twice a week, normally, I would pick up any garbage I see along the way, just because I don't like seeing garbage in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And now I don't do that anymore because I'm suddenly terrified of infection. But it's like, so to hear people complaining that you will have to pay thousands of dollars in fine if you were to take your gum and stick it to the bench you were sitting on when you're done with the gum, my response is, I'm actually okay with that. Because I don't like there being gum on the benches I sit on. And I would never leave gum on the benches I sit on, because that might inconvenience the next person who wants to sit on that bench.
And it's not like there aren't garbage pails all
garbage
over
pails,
the place.
By the way, there was friggin' garbage pail next to that bench you stuck the gum to.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of respect for people who are so lazy they can't watch 2 extra feet to put something in a garbage bin. 2 extra feet.
Yeah.
All right, so that has been our anti-litter segment. I didn't know we were going to do an anti-litter segment, although
no,
I guess when you're doing a show about Singapore, you kind of have to, since that's what Americans are still upset about. Like,
obviously, 2017.
Biggest... Yeah, Americans were still really upset about the litter stuff in Singapore.
24 years later, they're still bitching about... Yeah.
This whole gum thing. Yeah. I
vandalism
know,
and vandalism and littering.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Dear America, I'm not normally a glass houses person, right? I'm not normally a glass houses person. I think that if someone is doing something bad, you don't have to have a perfect life. Sorry, not glass houses means if you're doing the same thing. Sorry, I got that wrong. Let he is without sin cast the first stone. I'm not normally in favor of that because I think if someone is doing something shitty, you should call that out even if you were doing bad things yourself. But the idea that their complaint about Singapore is, oh, They're too clean and their justice system is too efficient. We're disgusted by that. Why can't they do things the American way? Where every city is an open trash heap and we only clear 20% of the crimes that are committed.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, and yes, and the whole business about the red light district, too, eh?
Oh, I know.
And homeless and poverty. He said, you know, you anyway, we definitely put up that link, and you could find it on YouTube under Mr. Brown.
I was actually kind of proud of myself, right? Because he actually mentioned one thing I noticed, which is they're like, it's so Orwellian to what call the- something the Department of, like, Human Employment or something like that. And I'm like, no, that's just what they call the Department of Labor. You have a Department of Labor? Every country has a Department of Labor. It's not dystopian that they call that they use a slightly different name than you do.
Okay, you know what that is? That's haplography. That line actually belonged when the guy was talking about the CCTVs.
Maybe, yes, and they moved it over for some reason.
Moved it somewhere. Yeah, it was just you know, when you're copying over documents, sometimes you miss a line, sometimes you put a line in twice or whatever. And that line about Orwellian could have belonged. You wouldn't have even been upset.
You might not
if
have
they
even
had
see,
mentioned
yeah.
it about
it might not
CCTV.
Have been Orwellian, whether it was Orwellian or not. But the point is, he thinks there's something disturbing about its, like, human employment being the like, no, that's not a scary term. Yeah. Yes, manpower, yes, or manpower employment, or whatever they called it. But
now, if
the
he
point
had,
is,
okay,
it's
so
just the Department
the
of Labor.
Okay, guess what? If he had complained that it was manpower and not people power.
Yeah, that would, but that okay. sure as hell is not something Criminal Minds is going to complain about.
No, they have no
they have no compunctions gender. Whatsoever about gendered language.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
God. All right, so that's that. We should stop dogpiling on this god-awful episode of television.
Yeah. I mean, it's still not as bad as Cuba, but it's still pretty bad.
Nothing's going to be. Plus, this is one of the worst, this is definitely one of the worst episodes of the year.
You know, so and you far. Know what? It's really funny because apparently the Singapore Board of Trade also put up something
was not,
I,
was
about,
not fond of this episode.
Not, so everybody, like, people in Singapore.
Yeah.
Right? Clearly, watch Criminal Minds.
Everybody watches Criminal Minds.
Yes, yes.
Not it's an unbelievably popular show all over the world.
Yes, nobody.
One of my favorite stories ever was that from Dan Harmon, creator of Community, right? He had a, his best friend is one of the guys from Whose Line Is It Anyway, right? And so he went to India on a tour with Whose Line Is It Anyway, because they do tours all around the world. They do a live show. And after they did the live show for this big corporate audience, all of, like, they, you know, there's minor celebrities. Sometimes Drew Carey is there, but it's like they're all known people. But, like, everybody swarms his friend. All of these, you know, rich, well-to-do Indian people swarm his friend and all just want to ask him questions about Criminal Minds. And he's like, why are you asking Criminal Minds? They're like, well, you created Criminal Minds, didn't you? And he's like, no, I'm just another person named Jeff Davis. Oh. It's a complete coincidence. Yeah. But he's like, he's shocked that wherever he goes in the world, like, people are nuts for Criminal Minds. And he has to hear about it because he has the same name as the guy who created Criminal Minds in Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
And he's like, in America, people are constantly asking me about Teen Wolf because they think it's one guy. But wherever else I go in the world, everybody wants to know about Criminal Minds.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. Yeah,
all
but
over
it's,
the
it's,
world.
You know, and I mean, our things don't, like, I'm trying to figure out whether anybody in Singapore listens to our.
Us.
Listens to our podcast, but I'm not sure because you can't zoom in on the map that they have.
Oh, okay.
Like,
that's
I mean,
frustrating.
Yeah, you can't zoom in. Like, people in Thailand. Ooh. Malaysia has one, Thailand has one, right?
But
right
it's
now,
way too small of a country to see on the map, unfortunately.
You can't, yeah, it's all weird, because right. it's in here somewhere, but...
You can't find
by
it.
By the end of a month, if this was this, I suppose I could do the whole year.
Don't worry, you know what?
I'm not going to worry important. About it, but it was...
All right, so let's, no, it is, it's funny, right? So let's move on. We have, on Thursday, you can join us back here for more... Criminal Minds regular as we kick off season 13, so where Matt has already been moved over to the main show from this thing. But what are we going to be watching next week, next Tuesday on this? What three episodes are we going to take on there?
Well, La Huesuda.
The Mexico episode.
Which we've both already watched accidentally.
Yeah, but that's another conversation.
For a few days from now.
Yeah.
And then Pankration.
Ooh, what's so that one about?
Greece.
Really?
They go to Athens to investigate the case of an American businessman.
Who?
Oh, God.
What? He
discovered dead upon discovering that that his cause of death was fatal beating. The team realizes their suspect might be engaging in brutal ancient Greek combat sport.
No!
Literal duels to the death.
Oh, my God. It's about gladiators. Oh, my God. It's about gladiators. Oh, the one thing we had going for this season was that they hadn't done one episode where the murderer was trying to recreate the old ways of murder of their culture. And now that's what they're doing.
Yeah, well, wait till I read the Mexican next week, the Mexican thing.
Oh, yeah, the Mexican one, yes.
Okay, and then the next one is called Blowback. Now, this is weird because doesn't seem as if they go anywhere. The IRT is investigated after an investigation into a murder committed by an FBI agent abroad ends up with the suspect dead. During the proceedings, the team begins to discover that someone within the bureau itself was behind the shootout that killed the suspect and possibly was attempting to murder the IRT team themselves to cover their tracks.
Damn. That's a big change for the show. I'm very excited to get to that episode. Is the description of the Mexican episode? I should have asked.
Wait till you hear this one.
Okay.
When an American student is found murdered in Tijuana, Mexico, the IRT investigates and finds a link between the murders and an ancient Mexican folktale. No!
That is not a good description of that episode.
Because we've already seen the episode. We
don't want to spoil it for everybody. We'll have some thoughts about that episode next week.
Let's just say it wasn't an ancient Mexican.
Stop it there. We'll talk about it next week.
Wait. I haven't finished the sentence. I'm sorry.
Oh, you haven't finished the sentence. Sorry.
No, this is all one sentence, too. And I'm sorry. Sorry. I took a breath.
Go.
Meanwhile, Garrett worries for the safety of his son, Ryan, when he finds out that Ryan is deep undercover in the Mexican drug trade. We will have a lot to talk about next
week. We really are. Join us. I mean, it's not going to be another Spencer Reed Festival two-hour episode, but expect a chunky one next week is all I'll say about that.
Yeah, just on La Huesuda itself.
Alone. Yeah. All right. Okay. So I guess we will see you back here for that. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you'd like to suggest any profiling-related fiction you think we should check out, please feel free to drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We'll see you back here, right here, next week for more Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, and of course on Thursday, the regular season 12 show. Hope to see you there, but until then, I'm going to say season 13. Thank you. Season 13, episodes 4 to 6. Hope to see you there. Thanks for watching, and until then, au revoir.
And have a good weekend.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.